Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wings are extra spicy this week.
It's getting hotter. It's increasing.
This is Danny and Dusty on Wildcard Week.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
My body's like, this is poison.
The Fan.
I think my leg just cramped.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on a Jets Watch. Thursday?
It's
Thursday
a Thursday. Afternoon.
They all blend together.
And I am excited.
Because we have all of the footballs. And whether or not you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on wonderful Thursday, where we will have football going for the next 5 days.
Ooh!
Starting tonight with the college football playoff, which we will get to after this segment. But first, we have to make our picks for the first round of the NFL playoffs, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's go.
There are 6 games to pick from. And I don't really think there's any bad games in this group. There's some playoff rounds where you go,
Yeah, well, the Steelers-Ravens game has the opportunity to get sideways. I mean, that's the biggest line of the week. It's a 9.5-point line.
It does, but when those two get together, it's close. The head-to-heads between the Steelers and the Ravens and Harbaugh and Tomlin is separated by one game.
The head-to-heads have been close, but, I mean, we just look at what happened, and they split this year, should be noted. I think what they're looking at is what happened most recently, which was 34-17 trouncing of the Steelers in Baltimore, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
In Baltimore, last time those two teams played.
All right, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, let's do it, man. All right, my first pick, I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Chargers, -3 on the road against the Houston Texans. If you look at it, of the teams that are in the playoffs, 14 teams in the playoffs, 12 of them were in the top 12 against the spread this year in the entire NFL. Houston is one that is not in the top 14 against the spread. The Los Angeles Chargers, not only were they on this list,
they're number one, aren't they?
They are tied for first. Yeah. 12-5 on the season against
Vegas
the spread.
Had them nailed all season long.
So I'm going to go with the Chargers -3 on the road, taking on the Texans.
The number being smaller scared me away, and I'm going to zig a little bit when everybody else is zagging. I'm not taking the Texans. I'm taking the over. Despite it being a playoff game, which you see it being ground down even more, I feel like 41.5, when you're not giving either team essentially more than 21 points, if you're saying this is a 3-point line, feels a little light, even for a offense challenged team like the Chargers, because the Chargers have been better offensively, and that Texans defense is a little dinged up. So I'm gonna go with this game being a little bit more than 41.5.
All right,
I'm gonna go with here. Adam Schefter put out a tweet earlier this morning, listing off all of the playoff teams and their point differentials against the other playoff teams. So I'm probably going to rely on this way too heavily. The Los Angeles Chargers were the second worst at -35. However, the Houston Texans were the worst at -66. So I'm going to take the Chargers at -3.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, second game here. I'm going Steelers +9.5 in Baltimore against the Ravens. That would make them a road dog. +9.5 is a big number. No Zay Flowers. He's been ruled out for the Baltimore Ravens as well. So there goes a vertical deep threat. Mm-hmm. I just think this game is going to be closer than 9.5. You're talking about a double-digit playoff game. That's a blowout. They are looking at what happened the last time the Steelers went to Baltimore. Also, it's been exactly how I thought it would play out with Russell Wilson being the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're going to win games. And you were going to have those spurts where he looked really good. but I think they are taking the fall off of Russell Wilson and the Steelers offense a little bit too far in that betting line. I'm going to go with the Steelers plus 9.5.
The Baltimore weather is heading towards snow.
Yeah, let's go, baby.
So with that being said, it's not going to snow during the game. It's just heading that way. It's just going to be bitterly cold and nasty. I'm going to tail you on this. 9.5 is too big a number. Give me the Steelers plus 9.5.
All right.
Again, back to those point differentials. Pittsburgh, the fourth worst, minus 30. Baltimore, the best at plus 112. 9.5 is a huge number, but I'm still going to take it. Give me Baltimore minus 9.5.
Ooh. All right. I'm going to go with Bills. Broncos is our next game here. This is an interesting one. Weather will play a role. Upstate New York, Western New York in January. Not going to be warm. Here's my little nuggy here. The Denver Broncos are 12-5 on the season against the spread. They are tied for tops in the National Football League. But as an underdog, they are 4-4 against the spread. Dead even. I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills to cover the 6.5. I think that you have a team in Buffalo that's going to have a little some to prove here. So I'm going to go Buffalo minus 6.5.
If you're watching on the YouTube and you just got the look on my face, that's because I looked at the Buffalo weather. Mm-hmm. Currently 23 degrees, heading towards 17.
That's what I'm talking about.
Where did you get 6.5?
Yeah, it's 8.5, Dusty.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 8.5?
8.5. Yeah. Yeah. You get more than that.
Oh, I read that. Yeah, I'll go 8.5.
Yeah.
Still going to go 8.5. Bills.
No, I'm taking the exact same
line.
You
look like a 6 on the DraftKings app here.
Yeah, it's okay. Your eyes are going. That's what happens.
Man in my 40s.
It kind of goes counterintuitive to what I just said as the 9.5 point line with the Steelers and Ravens. I think there's just a bigger separation between the Broncos and Bills, and particularly our rookie quarterback heading into this cold, into this environment, and Josh Allen doing what he does. Congratulations on making the playoffs, Broncos. You get Josh Allen in Buffalo in the first round.
Good luck, guys.
Well, the thing is, we got a couple of cold weather teams here, so they both know how to do it. This is the one where not leaning as heavily on the point differentials, because Denver is barely there at plus 3, but Buffalo was a minus 15. So I just have a sneaking suspicion that Denver will be able to keep this within a touchdown, so I'm taking Denver plus 8.5.
Ooh. All right, Commanders head down to Tampa Bay, Florida to take on the Buccaneers. Bucks, 3-point favorites in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Points. Over-under set at 50.5.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to go Tampa Bay minus 3, though. I like the Bucs to win. Rookie quarterback on the road in the playoffs. Very similar to Bo Nix heading to Buffalo as well. I'm going to take the home team.
The only reason I'm going to go the other way from you, even with the rookie quarterback, is because he's not going to play in the bitter cold. He's going down to Florida. It's not a place that's going to jump out and bite you as Buffalo will. And it's not like Bo Nix hasn't been playing in the cold, both playing in the Northwest and playing in Denver. But I think this is the kind of game where Jaden Daniels and that Bucs defense has been beat up all season long. I'm with you on the points. I think this is just going to be a shootout. And there has been a weird, I don't know, feeling around Jaden Daniels in his rookie year and his ability to just make something happen. And I want to will this and have the Commanders make this magical run in Jaden Daniels' rookie season, but I'm going to take the Commanders and the points. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, a road dog.
Point differential again. We got a 56-point swing between these two teams. So I'm going to go with the team on the better side of that, Tampa Bay minus 3.
You know those two teams played week 1?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
In Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels had a nice little game.
Yeah, he did. He's come a long way since then.
Threw for 200, ran for 80.
I'm going to, now we have our fifth of six.
Mm.
Philly hosting the Green Bay Packers. I think this one goes over the 44.5.
Mm.
That is the line. I don't feel comfortable with this one either way, Philly or Packers, because of Jordan Love. But if Jordan Love's elbow is dinger dip and he is not healthy, I think what we're going to see is short fields. We're going to see a lot of points. And if Jordan Love is healthy, points can be had on both these teams. I'm going to go over 44.5.
Current weather in Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field, 32 degrees, 39% yeah. humidity, 15 mile an hour winds.
Love it.
And getting colder.
Yep.
This is the one game I think I had the most difficult time picking.
That's why I took the over.
Jalen Hurts has returned to practice. He has not left concussion protocol.
Well, that's because you're still in it.
He's got to hit his marks.
But you don't practice unless you're on the final stage of the concussion protocol. That's the last. Yes. That is the last one. You're in it until game time.
But he has not played for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Knocking off the rust in the playoffs, in the cold, not exactly a fortuitous bounce. But your other quarterback has an injury to his throwing hand. Give me the Eagles -4.5. I don't like it.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a tough time with this one too, not knowing whether or not Jalen Hurts was going to play. But it looks like he's ramping back up. They expect him to be a full participant by tomorrow. Eagles -4.5.
All right, the final game is a Monday night game. Vikings -1.5 at the Rams. I'm going to take the Vikings in this one with the way that the end of the regular season happened. And then you add on top of it everything that's going on in L.A. surrounding the Rams. We don't even know where this game is going to be played. They're still having to go through their preparations and practice with everything that is happening in Southern California right now with the wildfires. I'm going to go with the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same. I don't understand why the line is this close. I get the Vikings choked the way that they did in the last game of the season. And a lot of this has to do with how you're playing, much like the college football playoff. But that 1.5 is too small a number. Give me the Vikings. I mean, you're basically just giving me just saying they're going to win.
The Rams do have a lot on their minds, definitely. Sometimes, though, that can maybe galvanize a team. And then plus, last week, it looked like Sam Darnold came out and saw his shadow. I think, you know, he might realize, he's like, that's right, I forgot I was Sam Darnold. He's going to come out with some yips like a good old Chuck Knoblauch. I'm going to take the Rams at +1.5.
All right.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Our first round of the playoffs, our picks in the books.
As this texter says, I'm fading the F out of you guys this weekend. Go ahead. I bet we're probably due. I ended up finishing the season 38-20-2. The wheels are about to fall off in the playoffs.
Yeah, I haven't updated mine. I've got to do my last round of picks. But right now I'm 35-20-1, so we're bound to absolutely come crashing down.
Yeah, probably will.
We did have some monster regular seasons, though.
All of us were well over 500. Rust, at one point, last update of his standings, he was 35-27-3 and in last place. We had a good season.
I did not last year.
I'll take that bronze medal, man.
Yeah. No, sorry. It was 2 years ago. The 1-18 run.
Yeah.
Or 1-19.
It was right. I was right around 500 last year, and it was not great.
No, we're
on the heater this year.
Yeah. It's a good season.
So that means the playoffs will probably
be absolutely bottom out. Coming up next, we're going to talk about that college football playoff game.
Let's go. So
let's dive into it a little bit because we haven't spent a ton of time talking about it. And it's
our last segment too.
Yeah, because we're going to get out of here early as we get ready to take the Oregon Ducks get ready to play some basketball. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
It's time for a Blazers report on the Fan. The inside story on the Portland Trailblazers, brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria.
The Portland Trailblazers are also playing the basketball. They are taking on the Dallas Mavericks tonight. They're starting the game at 4:30, originally scheduled for 5:30, because inclement weather. If you're paying attention to what's going on in Dallas right now, it is frozen over and snowing. Let me tell you right now, the Texans, they don't do well with the cold. I live there. It's not great. So they're going to try and get that game going and get out of there and get home quick, fast, and in a hurry. Robert Williams is on the injury report, not for an injury, but for rest. Donovan Klingon is activated. Jeremy Grant and Matisse Thybulle are both still out for the Portland Trailblazers. This Trailblazers report on the Fan is brought to you by Aztec Village Taqueria. Best place to go before and after games or any event. Check them out on the corner of Southeast 15 and Broadway or AztecWillies.com. The game that everyone saw coming that nobody wanted. Notre Dame versus Penn State. I love the college football playoff. I am not excited for this game.
What? Why? How can you not be excited for Notre Dame, Penn State? Let's go.
Two quarterbacks who aren't quarterbacks.
That is false. Drew Aller and both Riley Leonard are quarterbacks. They play quarterback.
By definition. By definition.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I just...
Drew Aller is not nearly as bad as you think he is as a college quarterback. I understand. One thing I don't get is why people want to talk about Drew Aller as a first-round pick.
As a no.
I don't... That I don't get. And if that is jading you for...
That's where I'm talking about. Like, when we're talking about going for it.
Yeah,
a college
if you're
quarterback,
jaded because of that,
yeah.
I get it. But he is a... perfectly fine quarterback.
Oh, absolutely.
And in this
absolutely.
Matchup, I think that that is what makes this game interesting to me. And that's why I like college football is like you have good teams and a lot of them can be fatally flawed.
Yes. I think every team is in some fashion or form has that.
That to me is the beauty of college football is that every player in the NFL is there for a reason because they are absolutely incredible. The reality of the elite college football teams is that maybe 10% are going to be playing. Maybe in the NFL, right? Maybe if you have a truly freakish roster, like Ohio State, for example, right? How many of those guys are going to actually go and start in the NFL and play in the NFL? It's not as many as you think.
Especially now.
Yeah. I mean, and boy... If you're looking at the four final teams, one team has a legitimate bona fide NFL quarterback. And think about the quarterbacks that are left. Like Drew Aller and Will Howard are like tied for second behind Ewers.
Yeah.
Who people are saying should be benched. Or I should say Texas quarterback tandem.
Yes.
Right? Like that to me is where like we have solid quarterback play. And I don't think Riley Leonard... He is not a downfield passer.
He's but a running he's a, back who happens to
but
throw
he's
the ball.
A get it done quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and he's that's a what batter Notre Dame asks him to do.
Yeah.
And they've tailored everything that way. And I think that makes this a fun game, especially where you have Abdul Carter for Penn State who's been dinged up. And, you know, James Franklin says, yeah, he's going to be a game time decision, but probably going to go, right? Deny Dennis Smith is a guy that I absolutely love, though. He has been playing out of his mind this season. And he does not get any of the love or attention that Abdul Carter gets. And I get it, right? Abdul Carter is one of the best, if not the best, edge rusher.
He's going to be a first-round draft pick.
in the entire college football landscape. But deny Dennis Smith has 11 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 8 pressures, and has stuffed 4 runs at the line of scrimmage in the playoffs.
He's also a guy last week who probably should have been thrown out of a game.
For the hit on Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah. And then following it up with a personal foul on, on Madsen. Yeah.
That doesn't mean he's not great.
No.
I mean, I don't care.
No.
He's a defensive lineman.
No.
This guy's probably wired a little bit differently.
He plays with an edge.
He is.
For sure.
An absolute monster. And then, you know, you look at on Notre Dame side too, like junior, Tui Halamaka.
Yes.
Junior Tui Halamaka is incredibly fun to watch as well. And he's just a disruptor. Both of these defenses are so good. Andy Kotelnicki, the offensive coordinator at Penn State, is as creative as they get. So you get Tyler Warren, who's going to have these matchups, and watching Marcus Freeman and Al Golden's defense kind of scheme up how they stop Tyler Warren is going to be fun. Kyron, oh my gosh, the running back for Penn State. Catron Allen.
You had Kyron Hudson in my head, and I was like,
he is playing like it is Tractorcito season, mm-hmm. where he has just been ramping up, and at the end of the year, he's been getting better and better and better. He was really damn good in the Big Ten championship game, and him and Singleton were absolutely game wreckers for Penn State. But Catron Allen has been really fun to watch. I'm really excited to watch this game and to see kind of which team can impose their will is that's the beauty of late season football. And this is a great rivalry that was awesome in the 80s and 90s. We finally get to see it again, and the stakes couldn't be higher. These two teams are like playing for national titles back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah,
and you get to see this again.
The interesting thing about this one, and the player to me that is the singular best player on the field is the one that actually touches the ball the least out of any of them. And it's Jeremiah Love for Notre Dame.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what the most carries he had in the game this season?
No.
14.
No.
14. This is a guy that finished the season with 148 carries and 1,000 yards and 16 touchdowns.
Boy, he is, his health, though.
That's the thing, is how healthy is he coming into this game?
I don't know.
Because when he touches the ball, he averages 7 yards per carry.
Yeah.
On the season.
But you also have Jadarian Price in that backfield, too, who they're both pretty fun to watch. And with Riley Leonard, you have truly a three-headed monster running the football.
I mean, Love finished the season with 148 carries. Leonard finished the season with 149. Price with 110. That's about as even a distribution as you're going to get.
I will be interested to see kind of Notre Dame at point of attack. And the big thing is Andy Kotelnicki, the offensive coordinator at Penn State. You saw how good he was against Oregon in the Big Ten championship game for a lot of the folks locally who hadn't seen a lot of Penn State. Is that when they are in, if they get 4 to 5 yards on first down or 4 or more yards on first down, he is so damn creative. And if there is one thing that Notre Dame's defense does not do a great job at, it is that at the point, that point of attack, run stuff and holding teams to those positive yards. I think they were the run stuff rank, which is like tackle at the line of scrimmage or behind, was like 123rd nationally.
Yep.
Right.
I can tell you where they are really good. It's that secondary.
Their secondary is really good. But if Penn State all of a sudden is working in second in medium, Andy Kotelnicki is one of the best play callers in the country then. Because then that's where does Tyler Warren go? How do you stop Tyler Warren? Where are their bevy of slot receivers? Where are they going to be at any given time, right? And they don't have like that game-breaking wide receiver, but they have Tyler Warren who will beat you.
Who is a game breaker?
The sit routes, the replace blitzer routes, and they will pick you apart, and he schemes him open, and it
put him in the backfield.
It is all on how well they do on first down.
Yeah. I mean, like we saw it in the last game. You know, his ability to be there. Drew Aller goes, go get it.
Yeah,
and he's got a DB on him, and Tyler Warren 6'6", 6'7". He says, "I got you, boss."
Here
and
we go.
High points a ball in the back of the end zone.
Like,
there's no scheming that. That's just a 6 foot six, 260 pound tight end saying, I'm bigger than you. Have fun.
In college football playoff through two games, Riley Leonard has completed one ball beyond 12 yards.
Like I said, he's a battering ram who throws the ball occasionally.
Yeah, or two. He threw one touchdown and completed another over 12. It's all going to be short. I'm excited. It should be a fun game. I hope the flu bug doesn't ravage the Notre Dame team like some are expecting it to do after that report today. But we'll see, man. We will see.
Yes.
Coming up next.
That part would suck. I would hate to see that.
Coming up next, though, we got Ducks basketball. And after Ducks basketball, we will take you straight to the Orange Bowl between Penn State and Notre Dame right here on The Fan. We will be back tomorrow from noon to 3 for Football Friday. Up next, it's Oregon basketball. We hand it over to Joey Mack at Ohio State.
Bye.
I thought it would have been bigger.